Today we're going to discuss Yehuda. We're actually going to do three or four psukim only. Okay, we're going to discuss in the context of the brachot or the nevuot of Yaakov Avinu. Yeah, you can sit here. Every year I skip it, but I don't know. Most years I've skipped it only doing stories because the poetry is very hard to understand. So you see, I've got the English in front of us. Nonetheless, it's really important. We're going to see. And I sent out on the WhatsApp. I don't know if you saw. If you had an Orach Chaim to bring it, because it's going to blow your mind. Okay, so. You saw it, but you don't have it.
When I walked right into the door,
could
add me to the WhatsApp.
You're on the WhatsApp? Anybody can add you to the WhatsApp.
Really?
Yeah, I think everybody owns it. Can you guys add it to the WhatsApp? Okay.
I have my phone with me.
Yeah, good for you. You didn't bring your phone. What happened? You stopped recording? You stopped recording.
No, I just forgot.
Okay, so we're in Perek Mem Tet, Pasuk Chet. Mem Tet Chet. Yeah, and this is in the context. Remember, what are we talking about? Yaakov Avinu is about to die. Okay, he calls them. Okay, we're just going to start Mem Tet Aleph, just see the first pasuk. Vayikra Yaakov el banav lemor vayomer. Yaakov calls his sons, and he said, you see where I am? Mem Tet 49:1, beginning of Perek Mem Tet. Then we'll skip there. Okay, he called his sons, and he said, He asfu ve'agida lachem et asher yikra etchem ba'acharit hayamim. Okay, gather, and I will tell you that which will happen to you ba'acharit hayamim. Acharit hayamim, in the end of days. Okay, just Rashi, very famous Rashi on that, on Aleph, v'yagid alechem, b'kesh Yaakov legalot et haketz. Meaning, what does that mean? Yaakov wanted to tell them, legalot means to reveal, haketz means the end. Yaakov wanted to tell them when Mashiach was going to come.
B'kesh,
he wanted to. Yeah, Yaakov wanted to tell them when Mashiach was going to come. And before he could tell them, he lost Ruach HaKodesh. That's what Chazal says. So he started saying other things. Yaakov, what?
It would be nice to know.
Okay. And so then in the end, he ends up telling us all these kinds of things. He comes, next pasuk, he kabzu b'shim'u b'nei Yaakov b'shim'u et Yisrael avichem. Gather and hear the sons of Yaakov and hear your Yisrael, your father. So you already see that Yaakov Avinu is going to talk in poetry. He's going to talk in code, in a sense, which makes the psukim that much more difficult to understand.
It's not really from him, like really directly from Hashem.
It's kind of Ruach HaKodesh, correct. Right, which makes it all the more, important and meaningful, but difficult to understand. Right, what is he giving? Is he giving brachot? Is he making a prediction? Is it a prophecy? And the answer, of course, is, yeah, yes. Right, it's all of them. Right, it's some kind of prophecy, some kind of brachot. And we're going to see that not only is it a prediction, but his statements have halachic or metaphysical relevance. They'll teach us about ourselves, and they also have practical relevance even to this very day, I think, as we'll soon see. So skip to pasuk chet. We're going to do Yehuda. Okay, we're going to do it carefully. We're going to read the words and translate them. Mem tet pasuk chet. Translate them. And then understand them on a much deeper level. Okay? Yehuda. Ata yoducha achicha. You, yoducha achicha. Achicha, sorry. Yehuda, you, what is yoducha achicha? What is yoducha?
You knew.
Yodu, lehudot.
Oh, thank.
Your brothers will thank you. Okay? Or praise you from, they say here, thee shall thy brethren praise from hoda'ah, toda, odeh, okay? But get the plan words, Yehuda, yoducha, right? Yadcha ve'oref oivecha. Your hand is in the oref. The oref, what's the oref? The back of the neck. When your hand is on the back of the neck of your enemy, what does that mean? Your hand is on the back of the neck. What's that? Yeah, meaning what?
Control.
Right, you're in control. Right, you're like lord over your enemies. Ishtachavu lecha b'nei avicha. And the sons of your father, your brothers from your father, will bow down to you, not just your sons. I.e., what's that? Like Yosef, but now Yosef, not Yosef. Right, all the sons of your father will bow down to you.
It's a reference to Mashiach.
Why is it a reference to Mashiach? Why Mashiach? What should it be a reference to? Correct. You will be the king. Okay, that's what that's essentially what he said. One second. See if there's Rashi here. Dun, 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 dun. Okay. Obviously, though, Yoducha Achecha, your brothers will praise you. No. Let's read all the psukim. Gur Aryeh Yehuda. Gur, what's a gur?
Baby lion.
Aryeh.
Big lion.
Yehuda. Right. It's interesting. You would say a gur is a baby lion. Right. You would not say gur Aryeh. Because a gur is a baby lion. Right. You don't say, in English, you say baby lion. Or you would say lion cub. Right. Lion cub. You wouldn't say cub because you don't know what kind of cub it is. Even though the Chicago Cubs, you don't know what kind of cub they are. Whatever. Okay. Right. But you would say gur. Would you say gur Aryeh? I don't think so. Right. Because that's a lion. That's a lion cub. So why does he say gur Aryeh Yehuda? Is it a gur Aryeh or is it a gur and then Aryeh? We'll see. Of course, the parashah we say it's a machloket.
Gur and Aryeh.
Right. Okay. And of course, so we all know the imagery. What is the symbol of Yehuda?
The lion.
Why?
King.
Lion is the king of the jungle. Okay, right? It's a continuation. Right? And if we read through all the psukim, you'll see that Yaakov, he relates a lot of the brothers to animals. They all have symbols. Even to this very day, right? The lion is a symbol of melucha, of kingdom. Right?
Yeah.
Okay? This actually, I'll show you. It's so interesting. I don't know if they do this anymore, but for many, many, many years, in the shas, in Gemara, this is always my favorite page. I always look at this. Okay? Like, if you look at the Gemara, you'll see there's always these two guys at the top in the Gemara. And I always love their faces. Like, you look at their expression. There's like a... If you look carefully, there's like a... You know what I'm saying?
It doesn't look like lions.
It doesn't look like lions, but it's the face of a person.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
The
breast
looks like a lion.
You know what I'm saying? Their faces are just so interesting. They whoever, I don't know who made that, you know, somebody must have done a doctorate on the art on the top of the shas. Nowadays, in the more modern shas, they took off the lions.
What?
I don't know why. The Haredim took off the lions. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you look, if you buy a much
because
more
face,
modern.
Maybe?
Maybe.
Don't like faces?
Correct. Correct. And I always love those lions. Okay, so the lions are sort of. No, because they're like happy, but they're like, I know something you don't know. Like, look at the, you know what I'm saying?
It's like a smug, but not in a bad way.
Smug, but not in a bad way. Right, those are awesome lions. You know, like, I don't know.
Like something in the expressions of the eyes.
What's that?
The expressions of the eyes.
Well, right, there's something there, right?
I got it.
Anyway, okay. Okay, Gura, yeah, so but the lion is symbolic of, so why the lions are their strength, their power, their melucha, the king of the jungle, as it were. Even then, like, you wonder, when did Yaakov see a lion, mountain lion maybe, who knows, okay? Where are we? Miteref b'ni alita. Teref, we have to understand every word. Miteref b'ni alita. What is teref? No, I know what our scroll says. I know what it means. Let's read the words. What does teref mean? Do you know what the word, where do we see the word teref before? Excellent. Terof taraf yosef. What does that mean, terof taraf yosef? That torn up. Very good. Who said Tarof Taraf Yosef? It's actually a quote that Yehuda says. Right? He didn't say Tarof Taraf Yosef. Yehuda says, when he gives his speech that we learned last week, when he gives his speech to Yosef, he says, at the very beginning of Vayigash, right? Yehuda is giving his speech, and he's saying, what happened to the brother? But he says, "Atem yedatem kishnayim yaldali ishti." Remember, he says, "You know, my wife had two children. Vayetzei ha'echad mi'iti. One of them left me. Va'omar, and I said, 'Ach tarof taraf.' Right? Ach, but he was tarof taraf. He was torn apart. So now we hear you say, 'Miteref v'ni alita.'" From the tearing apart of my son, Alita. Alita? You have went up. You have risen. Kara, ravatz, ke'aryeh. Kara means to bend down, stoop down. You crouched like a lion. Ukilavi, mi yikimenu. What's a lavi?
It's a lion.
Female lion. Mi yikimenu. who will raise him up? You crouch down like a lion. By the way, how many times does lion appear in the pasuk? Count it up.
A lot.
A lot. It's like, really? There's a lot of lions there. Gur, Aryeh, Lavi. Four times in one pasuk he's like likened to a lion. He's likened to a female lion, to a male lion, and then a female lion. I'm sorry, baby lion. Right, baby lion. That's a lot of lions. Okay. So obviously we have to ask ourselves, what in the world is going on? What does this mean? Lo yasur shevet mi Yehuda umichokek mi bein raglav. Shevet is, what is a shevet? No, not in this context. Lo yasur shevet mi Yehuda. What's a shevet? Very good, excellent. The staff, right? The staff shall not be yasur, taken away from Yehuda, umichokek mi bein raglav. Mechokek between his feet. Mechokek. What is chok? The rule. So they say here it's the ruler's staff from between his feet. Ad ki yavo Shiloh. Until Shiloh comes. Translates it here as capital Shiloh. Whatever that means. Until the coming of Shiloh.
Is it a person?
I don't know. Right? No one really knows. What? Shiloh is also a place. Okay, so then what would it mean? Until Shiloh comes, but until what? If it's a place. What does it mean, Yavo Shiloh? Yeah. No. Either Shiloh is a thing until Shiloh comes, but if Shiloh is a place, the place isn't coming anywhere. So what's Yavo mean? Ad ki Yavo Shiloh. Till you get to Shiloh. Velo Yikat Amin. And to him, here he translates it. How does they translate as? Yikat Amin. What do they translate as? Pasuk Tet.
Assemblage
of people. Right, assemblage from Kahal, Kahat.
Mm.
Okay, they translate here as the obedience of nations. And to he shall either have the assemblance or the obedience of nations.
I know someone
sounds
called
like
Shiloh.
What?
That's his name.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a person named Shiloh, but there's also a place.
From this? Oh, from the
there's
place?
Also a place, yeah.
It sounds like the coming of Mashiach when all the nations
excellent.
Come
together. So then what does it mean? So then read the pasuk again. Lo yasur shevet b'Yehuda u'mechokek mibein raglav. So what does that mean? He will always be in charge. He will always be the ruler. Ad ki yavo Shiloh. Until the coming of Shiloh, i.e., Yemot HaMashiach,
and the gathering of the nations.
Velo Yikalamim, right? And then there's the gathering of the nations.
Uncle doesn't even call it Shiloh. What does he say? I don't understand.
Because what you don't see, what you're not understanding, Unklus is Unklus when he gets the piece of poetry, he stops reading it in context. He stops trying to translate, and he starts explaining it according to Chazal. What does all this mean? We'll see in a second. I don't understand all of Unklus. I understand a bunch of it. We'll see in a second. Let's finish the Psukim. Osri la gefen iro. Now it gets really hard to understand. Okay. Osri la gefen iro. I'm going to read the English. La asor means to tie. Okay. He ties to the vine iro, his foal. What's a foal?
A baby horse.
Right, he ties his horse to a vine. Vela soreka bini atono. Okay, a soreka is another kind of vine, a longer vine. Because it's like, you ever know what the word nachal sorek means? What's a sorek?
Is that why there are grapes on
them? You know why not? Right, exactly right. What's nachal sorek? A sorek is a comb, because it combs you. When you walk through it, the nachal sorek, the nachal is so, it's because it's a nachal, the foliage grows so thickly that when you walk through it, it's like it combs your body. Right? It pulls on you. So that's why it was called sorek. Okay? So that's why the soreka b'nei atono. So a sorek is a long vine. So it's called nachal sorek because that's why the new you saw the new logo of nachal sorek?
No.
You never saw it? They didn't have the whole thing of the new logo. What's on the logo? That's right. Grapes on the Nachal Sorek vine, the thing. They changed it. Okay? They changed our logo. You weren't involved in the changing of the logo? They sent out to everybody. They wanted to know you could vote on it. We see it's changed your life. It's changed the quality of all of our lives. Okay.
See how many people participated.
Let me see it. Let me see.
Where?
I can't see. That's the bottom right? That's not the, I don't think that's the new app.
That one.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That's the new logo?
I don't know.
Do you know?
It is a logo.
It is a logo. They didn't change it? I think that's the old logo. Who knows? Whatever. Okay, there's grapes on it. I think there's grapes on the new one, too.
Which one was it?
Oh, the Soreka. So a Soreka, so that's from our parasha. Ooh, that's a good riddle. Where is it? Where is our Moetza mentioned in this week's parasha? According to Rashi, you could add that. That's a good riddle. Okay. No, because Rashi says, Soreka is Zmura Aruka, a long Zmura, a long vine. Okay? Kibes Bayayin Libusho. He washed in wine his garment. Ubidam Anavim Suto. Suto is also kind of begging. And in the blood of grapes, his other garment. So there's a lot of garment, there's a lot of wine here. Okay? Osri La Gefen Iro. He ties, what?
Royalty,
very nice. He ties his horse to a Gefen. He ties his donkey to a vine. He washed his garment in wine. And in the blood of grapes, he washed his other garment. What's the impression that you're getting here?
Well, the blood.
What's the blood of wine? Blood of grapes?
I would think that's a, isn't that an allusion to war? That he like,
in the blood of grapes?
I would think that it's making garment like royal garments.
Oh, is that what you got? That they're dying but in grapes? Wow, there's grapes here. There's all. How many times? Gefen, Soreka, Yayin, Anavim. See the four, like we had four lions, and now we have four grape references, four wine references.
So wine and grapes are a sign of freedom
and
richness.
That's right, richness, wealth.
Abundance.
Absolutely, like, absolutely.
If you're washing your clothes in wine, it's a sign of richness and abundance.
Absolutely, I totally agree.
Having it all.
Correct. Meaning wine, people who make wine are people who have like time and money. Because you have to not only make the wine, then you have to keep the wine, you have to let the wine ferment. It was if you had no food, you didn't grow grapes. You just because it's so process intensive, and so it's like it's expensive. That's why everything that we do that we want to add kedusha to, we add brine, make a bracha on wine. Wine adds significance. Wine adds. Well, we give the Kiddushah through the wine. We make Kiddushah, we make Kiddush, Kiddush, through wine. Because wine was always considered a sort of like a pseudo-royal kind of drink, right? That's you make the L'chaim on wine. It was not just us, right? Traditionally, customarily, everybody, makes a toast on wine.
It's ceremonial.
What?
It adds ceremonial value.
For that reason. It has a certain status to it.
Well,
right? If you think about it today, even now, that wine is so abundant. But you cannot make a $1,000 bottle of Coca-Cola. You just can't do it. No matter how hard you try.
Well, maybe it's really old. Like
what?
Original Coca-Cola.
Really? Good luck. No. Wine is...
The bottle could probably sell.
Right.
That's what I mean. Like,
what's that? The bottle.
The bottle, yeah.
The real Coke.
You get Michigan, is that connection?
Wine is also one of the very few things, very, very, very few things that gets better over time.
Right.
Now that...
Pesach, it's a sign of freedom.
Okay. Chachlilei einayim miyayin. I have no idea what this means. Let's read. His eyes shall be red with wine. Yeah, that's what I've got. Chachlilei einayim. Uleben shinayim mechalav. And his white teeth with milk. What? What does that remind us of? Eretz zavat chalav. Right? Udvash. Dvash we say is normally tamarim. Tamarim. But wine and milk refer to just abundance of wealth, and your teeth are white with milk. Who can afford to? You know what I'm saying? Like, remember, we're talking about like. And it also makes you think again about how well we live. You know, like how much milk we've got in the fridge when I remember to buy it, and how everything how much abundance we have. You know how blessed we are. But think about this imagery. The last two psukim I understand is imagery of wealth, of well-being. Of abundance, that Yehuda will have a symbol of royalty, and that royalty will bring safety and security, and that safety and security allows you to have the abundance of the wine, and you're just overflowing too much, because when you don't have safety and security, you can't do anything, as our neighbors so well recognize. You know, that's the way of the world. Okay, so let's go back to Pasuk Chet, and let's understand it at a much deeper level. Gur, Pasuk Chet, Yehuda, Ata. Okay, what does it mean? Yehuda, Ata. You. Right? What do they mean, Yehuda, Ata? What's going on here that he says, Yehuda, Ata? Yoducha, Achecha. Your brothers will thank you. So look at what he's let Rashi. Rashi says, Yehuda, Ata. Hey, yo, Yehuda, Ata, you. Rashi says, Lefi Shehuchiach et Harishonim bekinturim. We didn't read these psukim, but the first two psukim were Shimon Levi Achim. We mentioned them last week or 2 weeks ago. Shimon Levi. You want to turn back for a second, just for a second, to the psukim? What's that?
They got not such a nice bracha.
Right, they didn't get such a nice bracha. Turn to Pasuk Hey. Just a second. We're not going to go into it in depth. Shimon Levi Achim Klei Chamas Mechorotehem. Their wares are the wares of Hamas, of anger, of war. I don't want them with me. I'm going to separate them. So, like, she imagined, Dad's called us for the brachot. Everybody, come on. And so he says, oh, I will tell you, my sons, Shiva the Levi, you guys, you messed me up. You were terrible. I can't stand what you did. I don't want you ever to be together. So, of course, with Yehuda. And so what does Yehuda do?
Run.
I mean, like, you know, right. Like, he, like, starts out exactly what Rashi says. Exactly. I'm back on Chet. Turn back to Chet Rashi. The Fichcho Chiach et Arishonim bekinturim, because he rebuked the first two. He tchil Yehuda lasog laacharav. Yehuda is like stepping back, or like, you know, exactly right. V'ka'or Yaakov. So Yehuda, ata Yehuda, no, Yehuda, come back. B'divrei ritzui, with words of appeasement. Yehuda lo ata kemotam. So the word ata, Yehuda, you, is like you're not like them. That's what Rashi says. Right? Very interesting that Yehuda is like, maybe I don't want to be here right now. Like, God only knows what Dad's going to say. Okay? And it turns out it's all good. Yehuda gets all good. Why did Yehuda get all good? Yadcha be'eref oivecha. What is this referring to? We're going to do Rashi. Rashi's based all on the Midrashim. Yadcha be'eref oivecha. Your hand will be on the back of the neck of your enemy. Be made David. Vo'ivai tatali. My enemies are behind me. That's what David said. My enemies are under me. Oref, where am I? Oref, yeah. Tatali Oref, right? And David said in Shmuel Bet in his kinar, whatever, my enemies are under my hands. Okay. Bnei Avicha, says Rashi. Why does he say Bnei Avicha and not Bnei Imecha? Al Shem Shayu Minashim Harbe. Right? Why does he say your brothers? Because he wants to make it clear all of your brothers will bow down to you. Now we get to the next pasuk. Gur Aryeh Yehuda. So what is it? Gur? Let's read the pasuk, the whole thing together. Gur Aryeh Yehuda. Miteref bni alita. From the tearing of my son, you have risen. Kara ravatz ke Aryeh. You bow down. You crouched. Lay low like a lion. Ukelavi mi yikimenu. And who will wake you up? Like a lion. I mean, nobody's an idiot to wake up the baby lion. Which reminds me, did we tell you? Like, I married one. Remember I told you the story? I married one of the guys I married through Tzohar. She called me. She's like, oh yeah, he works in the wild animal division of the zoo. I was like, really? Don't you mean like, you know, in the Machleket Torfim? That's what she wrote me. I said, don't you mean Machleket something or other? She said, no, Machleket Torfim. So when he came, when we met, he said, no, I really do work with the wild animals. So after we met, after the wedding, he said, come one day, and I'll give you a behind-the-scenes tour. So we came, we arranged a thing, we came like late in the day, and then after the place closes, they feed the animals. Meaning you can only see them from like, you know, 50 feet away. That's as close as you're going to get. But when they feed the animals, I'm standing here, and the animal's behind a cage over there. These animals are, like especially the ladies, especially. The guys, they're like, you know, they mark their territory and
they're the hunters.
What?
They're the hunters.
They're the roar of the lion is terrible.
Yeah.
It's really from close.
And waits for it to come to him.
It's from close. It's fascinating. You know, you've never been that close. You don't want to ever be that close to an animal like that. It's just powerful and what? Very, very frightening. Mm. Cool. Like unbelievable, but you know. Ad Kedekachi is like, after a while, he asked us to leave because the animal didn't want to eat when we were there. It was like disturbing to them. But it's Kilavi Miyakimenu. Nobody wants to wake up the baby, the lady lion. You know, we just don't want to do that. Not a good idea. Okay, what's he referring to? Rashi. So is it Gur or Aryeh? So says Rashi. Gur Aryeh. Al David Nitnabde. Right? It's a nevuah on David. B'hiyot Shaul malach aleinu. First he was a gur. B'tchila gur. First he was a baby lion. Remember David's life. What happened to David's life? He was already, when he was anointed while Shaul was already, was still the king. So he couldn't become the king until Shaul was defeated. So b'tchila b'hiyot Shaul malach aleinu. Ata hayita hamotzi v'hamevi et Yisrael. He was the, even in Shaul's time, remember, David was, he was like the lead general. He was like, I wouldn't say the general, but he was the warrior that everybody looked to. So he was the gur. He was already a lion at that time. If you recall, we remember from our studies of Shmuel, we haven't studied Shmuel, but David was very threatened by that whole thing. Right? He was already a gur at that time. Ula b'sof aryeh. In the end, it's an aryeh, kishihim luchu aleihem. V'zehu shetir game unkulus, shilton yehe b'shei ruta, b'tchilato. Okay, unkulus, so Unklus is on Gur and Aryeh. So what is the meaning of Gur, Aryeh, according to Rashi, according to the Midrash? Gur and then Aryeh, Yehuda. It's referring to, it's a nevuah about your future. Your descendant will first be a Gur, then be an Aryeh. Let's look at Rashi. We'll do that. Unklus, see Unklus?
But what about Lavi?
We'll get there. Shilton yehe b'sheruya, u'besofa yitraba malka mimalka. You see it in Unklus? Shilton yehe b'sheruya. He'll be a leader first, and in the end, Yit Rabba Malka, his kingdom will grow. That's what it means, Gur Aryeh. See, by the way, you understand that Unklus is not translating anymore. He stopped translating. Because he said, why bother translating? It doesn't, I can translate the words into literal, but what good is that? Art Scroll will sometimes do that on very rare occasions. Do they do? They don't do that here, do they? No, because they have interpretation.
Really,
right.
Makes sense.
Okay. Let's continue Rashi. Miteref bini alita. Why is Yehuda all of a sudden getting the leadership? Why does Yehuda, until this point, there is a focus in him in the psukim, but why all of a sudden is he, what's so special about him? So he says, Miteref bini, Rashi, this is an unbelievable Rashi, Mimashechasha deticha v'tarof toraf Yosef chaya ra'a achalatu. Miteref bini alita. From the tearing of my son Alita. Alita means
you went up.
Okay. Let's read Rashi again. You with me? See Rashi on Miteref?
Mm-hmm.
Follow inside. Mima shechashedaticha. What is chashad? That which I suspected you. B'tarof taraf Yosef chayara achalatu. Remember I said tarof taraf Yosef. Yosef is tearing apart, and an animal ate him.
Mm-hmm.
From that Alita, you have Alita risen. What does that mean? What's Rashi saying? What's Rashi saying? Yaakov is saying.
And as a result of what you did, you actually went up.
Meaning, what does went up mean? Very good.
Became great. Like, isn't there an idea? Like, I'm just thinking, isn't there an idea that when Yosef is down and Yehuda is up, and the other way around?
No, but that's not what he's talking about. Alita, you went up from the chashad, from this suspicion.
That you grew from it?
You did children.
From this suspicion.
How so?
Who suspected? Who suspected?
Is this with the cat?
No.
No.
Who's suspecting? Who's talking here? Who's speaking, literally? Who's speaking here?
Yaakov
is speaking.
Mm-hmm.
What suspicion? No.
That he wasn't killed?
No. What did Yaakov think? Tarof, Taraf, Yosef.
That Yosef was...
Really?
You're saying that he...
I'm not saying.
That the brothers murdered him.
Oh. Right. I am not saying this. I want to make it clear. This isn't Reuven Spalter, modern, whatever. By the way, I would have said it. Because how could you not think it?
Right. What?
The brothers killed Yosef.
Right. Tarof, he says two things. Tarof, Toraf, Yosef, Chaya Ra'a Achalato. Yosef was torn apart. A terrible animal ate him. Before he was torn apart, while he was torn apart, after he was torn apart. Understand?
No.
Let's look back at Lamed Zayin, Lamed Gimel. Lamed Zayin, Lamed Gimel. Lamed Gimel. I want to be clear. I'm not saying it, okay? You're clear with that. You understand? This is Rashi, based on the Midrash. Lamed Zayin, Lamed Gimel. Tell me when you get it. Vayakira. He recognized it. What did he recognize? What did Yaakov recognize? Yaakov recognized Yosef's multicolored dream coat, splattered with blood. Vayomer, Kitonet Bini. Yes, it is the garment of my son. Chaya ra'a achalato. He was eaten by a terrible animal. Tarof toraf Yosef. Yosef was surely torn apart. By the animal? We always understand, like you said, we always understand it to mean, yeah, that must be what happened to him. Why did he say both?
Torn apart by the family. Oh. First by the brothers and then left.
So, what?
First by the brothers and then left for the animals to finish up the job.
Derech Agav, what kind of blood was it on there? It wasn't his blood, as we know.
Mm.
It was somebody else, some other blood.
Goat's blood.
And the goat's blood or whatever. So, let's go back to our, come back to our Rashi. Miteref b'ni alita. You have risen from the tearing apart of my son. Meaning, I always suspected, Rashi says, mimashi chashadeticha. Very clear. From that which chashadeticha. Chashadeti otcha. I suspected you. Bitarov toraf Yosef. Chaya ra'a achalato. Okay.
So he suspected him of being the leader.
Wait a second, it goes on. V'zehu Yehuda shenimshal la'aryeh. Who is the chaya? I didn't even realize this. Who is the chaya ra'a that he's talking about? You were the wild animal. I didn't even think that. Well, I didn't realize that. I thought it was a wild animal ate him, to after you'll say, but you guys ripped him apart. The wild animal who ate him is his brother Yehuda. Meaning, I always knew you were the leader. You were the instigator. You did it. Teref bini alita. You have raised yourself up from the teref bini. You from the suspicion. Meaning. This is crazy. All those years that he refused to be consoled. Why? If you really take this to its logical conclusion, why did he refuse to be consoled?
Sorry, the whole shiur.
What's that?
Sorry, the whole shiur.
Why did he refuse to be consoled?
His sons were murderers.
Right. It's not that he thought Yosef was alive. It's he thought that the brothers killed him. And they wouldn't even own up to it. And now he's surrounded by a group of sons who killed his beloved Yosef. And he has to live with that for the rest of his life. How's that? What's that?
So what I heard was the opposite. But there are many
interpretations. By the way, am I saying anything? Am I saying anything that isn't obvious from the Rashi? I want to make it clear. Am I saying anything that isn't straight from Rashi?
There's different opinions.
But I'm looking at Rashi based on the Midrash, right? I'm really this isn't like, you know, Rav Meidan in the 21st century or what have you, which I love also.
Mm.
You know, it's not some whatever, some reform whatever. This is Rashi saying that, you know, that Yaakov saying, I suspected my sons of. By the way. Is that such a crazy suspicion?
No, there's a big element of truth.
There's a huge element of truth to it. They wanted to kill him, and they didn't kill him. And who's the one that said they should sell him?
Yehuda.
He is responsible. He did do something. Now think about it this way. Time comes, if that's true, and he really suspects him all that time. The time comes to send Binyamin. Time comes and they say, Dad, we need to get food from Egypt. He said, I'm not sending Binyamin. Why is he not sending Binyamin? It makes a lot more sense now. Yeah. Right. If he didn't suspect him the first time, why would send Binyamin? Well, you know, but he thinks something's gonna happen. You said Yosef and he like didn't know how to travel and he was a kid. Fine. We're experienced travelers. What are you worried about? Now you know what he's worried about.
Yeah, they're gonna come too.
Correct. So then what is the act of sending? What does that mean? Meaning if Yaakov believes that the sons killed Yosef, that they killed their brother, how did he feel? Let's try to understand from his perspective. Why would they do such a thing? Why would the brothers do such a thing? We know why they would do it.
Because of the dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Jealousy.
Why? Why were they jealous?
Because he was a favorite.
Why, right. How did they know he was a favorite? The code. The code. Like, Yaakov clearly gave preferential treatment to Yosef. So even if he never says it, if he suspects the brothers, what's he's culpable too. Yeah, it's undeniable. Even many, many great rabbis, like, there's a lot of parenting talks that come out of this discussion about Yaakov and the sons. And one of the things they always say is, don't explicitly give preferential treatment to one child over the other. It doesn't mean that you don't love each child differently. You love each child for different aspects of them. But you have to love all your children the same way, because it does create ridiculous jealousy and terrible, it could tear apart a family. So when Yaakov, if that's true and he suspected, the act of giving them Binyamin is a great act in and itself. Because what's that saying to them? Bottom line, I have to trust you. I have to believe that something about you has changed. That you're not going to do the same thing that you did.
Well, he's setting them up for an opportunity to do Teshuva Shlema.
That's right. Exactly right. But he has to trust them too. You know what I'm saying? So let's read on in Rashi. All of that is inherent in this unbelievable Rashi. This family dynamic. Miteref, we learn, Bini Alita. Salakta et atzmecha. You have removed yourself. When you said, Ve'amarta ma betza. So Rashi means when you said, when you have removed yourself, when you said, let's not kill Yosef. V'chein, furthermore, Beharigat Tamar, with the killing of Tamar. Was she killed? No. Shehodeh, you admitted, tzadka mimeni. Lefikach kara ravatz. And for that reason, you will crouch, you will jump. Ka'aryehu kilavi, bimei shlomo. Meaning, therefore, your descendants, the reason why you will have these descendants is because you stood up at a time of difficulty. When the brothers, when Levi and Shimon were, saber rattling and trying to kill, and you said, no, we're not going to kill anybody. We'll sell him. When the time came, Rashi's reading in a certain way. When the time came and you had to either own up to what you did with Tamar, or on the other hand, let it slide. Solve all your problems. You stood up and did the right thing. That's why you're the leader. That's why I trust you. That's how you removed yourself from guilt when it comes to Yosef. Because I don't suspect you, that's why you're going to be the Melech. That's why you have the Malchut. That's why I'm giving you the leadership, the tribe of, that will lead. Everybody understand? I'm going to read it again. Miteref bini alita can be read one of two ways. What are the two ways? Miteref bini alita. From teref, from the tearing apart, bini alita, you have risen, my son. So who's the bini?
Yudah.
Or miteref bini alita.
Yosef.
Which? How do you read it? Which one? Which one is accurate?
They both.
Right, they're both. They're
one.
Well, who's bini?
Oh.
Right.
Well, I think. If you had pointed that out, we'd all automatically say it's Yehuda.
It's Yehuda. Correct. Why would you say? I don't know.
Why Yehuda?
What? Viteref bini alita. But would you say, but which makes more sense?
Oh, okay. So
which, what?
Yeah.
By the way, which one is read into the trup? Which one is read into the trup? Look at the trup. Do you know how to read it? Tamei Amikra, the trup, the Tamim. Which one is it? You see it on the pasuk? You don't know how to read trap? Oh, so I'll read it for you. You see the pasuk? Okay. Gur Aryeh Yehuda. Gur Aryeh Yehuda. And then you see Miteref, the word on Miteref. What's under there?
Something there.
Yeah, what's under there?
Half
the little half of the circle.
Yeah.
And then Bini Alita. So that's a Miteref. That's a Tipcha. Munach et Nachta. So is the Miteref Bini Alita. So the word Bini is connected to Alita. So according to the Trap, according to the Misorah, no, it's not Yosef. Because if you wanted to read it the other way, you would read it, Miteref b'ni alita, but it doesn't read that way. Miteref b'ni alita. So who the b'ni according to the Misorah? Yehuda. See it, Tracy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. So in the Trap itself, that's why sometimes the Trap, even the smallest Trap, has very important meaning. Who is the b'ni? Okay, now I'm going to do the Orachaim that blows your mind, if you have it. Do you have Orachaim in there? You don't have Orachaim in there. Do me a favor. You have Orachaim?
Yes.
Can you give it to them, and then you'll share? You guys will share? Because it's a long piece.
Which on what?
Gor it's a long Aryeh? Piece, but it's like too important not to read.
Is it Gor Aryeh?
On Gor Aryeh. Okay. So the first thing he says is, the first thing he says, Alan, can you look? Can you look around? You don't, what? You don't have Orachaim. No, it's a Torah Orachaim, but they don't have Orachaim. The reason why, I don't know why they don't include it. I guess it's very long. You know, also Orachaim is not shot. It's not in the Pashtanim. You wanna? Oh, let's see. Can we find another one?
Well, you tell. I'm happy to listen.
You happy to listen?
Me too, share.
Okay. Why don't you guys share? It's a longer piece. I think you guys should share. You know, it's a pretty long piece text wise. So he says the following. Rabotenu zal amru. Mitchila gur ve'achakach ayeh. What is gur aryeh? Remember, that's what we learned in Rashi. First gur, then aryeh. Mitzerich ladat lama hutzrach laskir zman eyoto gur. Who cares when you're the cub? Otzerich ladat omro miteref bni alita. What does it mean when it says miteref bni alita? What you have risen from the teref? Ve'avoteinu zal amru Chazal say she'al amru taraf taraf hu omer lo bni alita. That's what we said. Remember that because it says taraf taraf, you have risen from that. Perush, meaning salakticha atzmecha. Salakti, you have removed yourself. You have removed yourself from suspicion. Uledivrehem zal, and according to their words, titparesh tevat bini lemala ulemata. This is what we just said. We'll interpret the word bini both connected to that which was before it and that which is after it. Alzeh haderech, meaning this way. Miteref bini, from the tearing of my son, Pirusho Yosef, alita. You have risen, miteref bini alita. Gam al zeh haderech, in the same way, miteref shel Yosef, from the teref of Yosef bini, perusho ata bini, my son, you Yehuda, alita. So he says, in the way Chazal interpreted miteref bini, it could either mean, but either, as we said, Yosef, or it could mean Yehuda. This is beautiful, he writes it in a very nice way. He really explains it very, very clearly. Okay, v'amar tevat bini, the word bini means lashon chiba v'kiruv halev. Bini, right? Who else said bini? Anybody know who else said bini? Where else we say it? Anybody? Avram Avinu, when Yitzchak on the way to the Akedah says Avi, you know, he says Hineni bini. Right? Bini, my son. My son is like a. You're my son. I love you. Okay. Ella, but. Shtarich arev sheYaakov chashdo liYehuda lomar ata alav shealam meachshad. But if that's true, then you have to say that Yaakov suspected the sons. How can you say that? V'hadat notena ki mi'olam lo ala al dat Yaakov she'achim yishluchu yad b'Yosef lachshod echad mehem. How could that possibly be? Logic dictates that Yaakov would never suspect his children. So how can we say that? Ela divrei rabotenu zal hem divrei kabbalah. Chazal said it, divrei kabbalah. We have to accept it. It's so interesting. But he says, the logic says, they would never suspect him. I don't know, I would have said it. But he says, Chazal said it, that's what it is. Divrei Kabbalah. Okay? Kabbalah means something that we are mekabel, that's part of the Mesorah. Part of the Mesorah is that Yaakov suspected. See, Reuven Spolter didn't say it. This is not one of those controversial things that I say. I'm not afraid to say controversial things, but this is not one of them. Okay. Od tzarich ladat omro kara ravatz. What does it mean, kara ravatz? Mi yikimenu? Aside from the fact that there is no interpretation, there's no meaning to the simple words. Like lying and crouching, what in the world does that mean? Lama diber lashon nistar. Why did he speak lashon nistar? Meaning, the first part of the pasuk, everybody, like it's clear, there's words. And all of a sudden he starts speaking codes. You're a lion, you're a cub, you're this lion, you're that lion. Dad, just tell me, what do you want to say? What in the world is, why does he start talking in code? Now we get into the, like, nutty stuff. Achen yidbaru. It's a little long, so I'm going to read it. We're going to go straight. See where I am, Achen? You guys got it? Except for Allison. Sorry. Okay. We'll put you on the WhatsApp. Do you have a Or HaChaim at home? Do you have a Mikra Avidolot like this one? Okay. Yidbaru aktuvim api hakdama achat zaka ubara. I have to give you, this will be explained when I give you this short introduction. Asher ha'eru einenu b'dvarim nechmadim me'or taratenu. That will enlighten our eyes with nice things. Behu. This is. Ki adam harishon u hi'ilan shebo ayu tluyim kol neshamot shel kedusha shiyatzu le'olam. Miyom harat olam v'asher atidin latzeit. Adam harishon was the tree from which all this, the holy souls will come out of him. Okay? He was the source of all of the neshamot that were ever to exist were put into Adam harishon. Okay? They were put into him. U'keshechata Adam, but when he sinned, shalat chelek hara v'yashav mimenu shevi le'en mispar. When Adam sinned with the eitz, with the tree, part of him, inside of him, was rooted a certain evil, a certain sinfulness. V'darshu me'al sefer enshei emet ma'atzmo shebiyu mekidusha beklipa. Okay? And anshei emet, they derive from this, ma'atzmo ha'shvuyim mekidusha beklipa. Some of the kedusha was shavui in the klipa. Some of the holiness became ensconced or caught in the klipa. What are klipot? Anybody know? You know what I'm talking about. The klipot are the shells. This is a Hasidic term. Right? There's kedusha and there's klipa. The klipa are the shell which shields, which covers up the light. It is the Yetzer Hara. It is the negativity. It is the evil. V'hein am Hashem, and they are the nation of God, mishtadlim miyot hiyotam, that are trying, that desire from the day of their creation, livarer ulotzi bol'o mipiv, they want to get out. V'hochim umivarerim umotziim miyado, and they're trying to get out of this, meaning they were in Adam HaRishon, and then he sinned. So when this sinfulness got embedded in Adam HaRishon, they got stuck. Somehow they were stuck. They were caught in the sinfulness. Okay? But they want to get out, and they want to be part of the kedusha because they were created in that kedusha, but they're caught, they're trapped. Gam lifamim, sometimes beemsakut dvekut hanefesh hakedusha benefesh hatuma leontza tavit nefesh chaya lemina. So he says, how does this trapped holy soul get out of its situation? Sometimes, when a holy soul engages in a nefesh, connects to, is middabek, connected to a nefesh tum'ah, it is coerced to connect to a nefesh tum'ah, out of that will come, the soul will be liberated and freed. Everybody? Yes, you got it? Okay? A holy person engaging in an unholy act, he says, through no, you know, by coercion, you can bring out this holy soul. V'hu sod, and this is the sod of v'tidbak nafsho b'dina bat Rachel. Who loved Dina? Who got clung to Dina? His soul got clung to Dina. Anybody know? You remember? Shechem ben Chamor. Shechem clung. He loved Dina. Shesha'ava nefesh Dina hakedusha. The soul, the holy soul of Dina, yearned for nefesh kedosha mina shaitan etuna b'tol Shechem. In Shechem, there was a holy soul. What can you do? He was born to a non-Jewish father. He was born to Chamor. He was born at, okay? Okay.
That's a stretch.
What?
That's a stretch.
His soul was a holy soul, okay, that had to come out, and the only way for it to come out was to cling to Dina.
By raping her.
This is the soul of Rabbi Chananya ben Taradion that had to come out, and that was the descendant of Dina. Ulefamim. Sometimes, I told you to blow your mind. Did I write on the WhatsApp, blow your mind?
Yeah.
Yes. I did, yes. Ulefamim. Teitzei hanefesh mi'atzma le'olam lezad hashra'at nefashot taklipa be'olam teitzei gam hi. Sometimes it will emerge itself. I'm at the top line. See, I am.
tiva, v'ta'ava lelechet b'derech hatov. And sometimes it will try to emerge from its klipa on itself and go in the positive way. This is the secret of the gerim. Why do some people like just feel this inherent connection and want to be part of Klal Yisrael? And the vast majority of non-Jews don't. What's unique about them? He says, because from their creation, they were supposed to be part of Am Yisrael. Very interesting ideology. Theology, right?
I just wonder how he gets, like, how he figures that, like, how he got this idea.
I have no idea, none whatsoever. Okay.
Give this over and.
What's that?
So you have to be him to be able to say this.
For who saw nishamot ha-gevim? This is the secret of the gemim. Choshkim, choshkim, cheshek. They desire the istofef b'tzel ha-kedusha, to be in the tzel, in the shadow of kedusha. That's why they come. Because, and by the way, you say this to a lot of gemim, they'll say, "I always felt that was, you know, that this was who I am."
But
what?
What's
that?
Probably
I don't know. Yeah. Good question. Ubichlal davar zeh. And in this, included in this, gam kein be'emzaut davar miguna biyoter yivchar ha-shavai shu adam belial, through a terrible thing, will the person who is shavai, who adam belial, who is a bad person, who is shavai, shavui, he is captive, lehotzi nefesh ha-kedusha sheshvuya biyado, in that way he will bring out the holy soul, b'makom klipa shi b'chinat ha-avon, through the klipa, which is a part of a sin, shiyeh yoter meguna, a terrible sin. V'zelecha ha'ot Rut ha'moavia. How did Rut come? Yatzam iznut av ubito. Rut is the Moavia, emerged from the sin of znut, of a father and the daughter. Who are the father and the daughter?
Lot
and his daughters. Una'ama ha'monit. Okay, and the same thing, na'ama ha'monit. Right. These holy souls had to emerge through evil begets evil. It's very difficult. Very, very good. Evil begets, I'm sorry. The act of evil allows the klipa to be removed. Somehow you have like used up your... Done?
I don't understand the whole answer to why bad things happen to good people.
I don't know. No, I don't think bad things happen. The real question is, it's not why bad things...
Why did Dina have to be the korban so that Shem could rise out of his...
Yes. No, but even more question, how could Mashiach come out of... Where does Mashiach come from? From root, who's, right?
From deviant act.
Right, from root of Moaviah, who came from Moab. How could it be? Like, if you were going to pick Mashiach, who would you pick? Yosef. You're like, you know what I'm saying? Anybody but that. That's what he said. Anybody. Okay. Umaaseh. Wait a second. By the way, and where did they come from? Where did Yehuda come from? Yehuda came from, I'm sorry, where did David HaMelech come from? Before, after, from, no, David came from Ruth, but even before that, his father's side.
From Yehuda.
Yeah, and that whole act with Tamar.
Absolutely right, Yehuda and Tamar. Who is this Tamar? What in the world? Same thing. Okay? A second. Okay. Okay.
But Yehuda and Tamar is not a bad, well,
if she
pretended to be a prostitute.
Just understand. Yeah, she pretended to be a prostitute. What's that?
She's forcing him to do yibum, whatever, not yibum.
Okay.
The right thing to marry.
Yeah. The intention to appear.
Right.
So
that
his words are
not
bad.
Okay.
His words so much.
You should know. Ki im haya oseh ma'aseh Lot Adam Acher, if anybody other than Lot had done what he did, lo yutzi b'emzaoto bet predot tovot. You would never have these two predot, these two, like, you know, young donkeys, whatever, predot, wonderful things, wonderful, wonderful emerging, etc., etc. It was in the soul of Lot. They were caught in the klipa. They were caught in there from the act of Adam Avraham Rishon, from that act of sin. Let's skip. Bum, 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 bum. Okay. The AP side, left side, because we're going to finish. Okay. And just understand, he says, second line from the top, who sowed Omram bezoar dinaga'o raglin biraglin ki kol b'china tibareh b'chinata. This is from the Zohar, this is from the Kabbalah, this is how the world works. Because of the sin, you can be skeptical. I'm not,
I don't look at it that way.
I just don't understand it.
You're not supposed to.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, well, it's clearly the way.
The power of an act of sin has the ability. Think about it in physical terms. The power of an act of sin has the ability to cleanse a person who was caught in sin. Think about it in atomic terms. How do you break an atom?
Positives and negatives.
How do you break apart an atom? You need an atomic reaction to break apart an atom. Right? No, how do you break apart an atom? How do you create not a hydrogen bomb, how do you create a real atom bomb? You use a hydrogen bomb to break apart an atom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an act of destruction can break apart another act of destruction. Does that help you? You can say no, it's fine. Okay. V'al pi hakdama zo, and based on this introduction, taskil atzat Hashem asha ya'atz al Yehuda, so then you'll understand the atzat Hashem, the act of God that came to Yehuda v'shalach malach and sent an angel v'hichricho lavor l'kdesha, forced him to sleep with this prostitute. Who's the prostitute?
Tamar.
This is inappropriate. How could he sleep with his kalah? And of course, we know through Chazal that Yehuda was coerced. He just, I don't know what happened. He forgot that it was asur because Yehuda was this great tzaddik. He didn't know. He did not know. It's clear he didn't know it was his kalah. Okay, and in that way, he impregnated her. And that through that act he was able to bring out Peretz and Zerah, and then that's the further generations, because his first two sons died. Without that we would never have Yehuda. Okay? Shahayub shvuyim bebechinat hara v'haya adam b'li'im. Okay? They were caught. Their souls were shavui. They were shavui? Captive. That's the word. Etc. 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 One second. And how does he word it in the okay? Vihine hadvarim, the last is and okay, etc. 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 Hein hine advarim. See where I am, last paragraph? Hein hine advarim? Last paragraph. Hein advarim sha'amar hakatuv gur aryeh Yehuda. What in the world is gur aryeh Yehuda? Perush. Mitrila kodem ma'aser tamar hu gur. Before the act of tamar, he was a cub. Zehu sheramaz betchilat varav beomro ata yoducha achecha. And that is the remez, what it means, yoducha achecha. Your brothers will bow down to you. Mivad mapirashti. Okay. Da 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 da. Kefiz de yitba'er ora, etc. etc. Ubesof, in the end, aryesh nitgaber venit ale. Perush, minayin zacha la'alot ma'ale zo, v'amar, miteref beni alita. Meaning, mi'oto teref adam, sheteref bechinat hara, mi'adam arishon. Gur aryeh Yehuda, you had the potential. You were Yehuda from the very beginning. This is what he means. Alone on your own. But then you became an aryeh. How? Miteref bini alita. Because were able to pull out of Tamar the teref, that which was caught in the klipat hara. And then you were able to combine the purity of your soul with the purity that was hidden in Tamar, and create the real Kiddusha of Peretz and Zerach and the seed that would forever be Mashiach.
He's saying it was not a proper...
Oh, he said, of course it wasn't proper. No, everybody says it wasn't proper.
So maybe it's just...
Everyone says?
Does that help you?
I feel like now...
I had to share this with you because it's...
In the sense that, like, sometimes you grow from negative things that happen.
Yes. But I would agree with that.
It's so difficult to understand
how... I would agree with that. But I don't think that's what he's saying. Meaning, you grow from negative things. Chazal say that a Baal Tshuva is greater than a person who never sinned at all. That the Kedusha can be the sin can be a springboard to allow you to grow more. I don't think that's what it's saying here. I think he's saying in the metaphysical world of sod and souls, sometimes there needs to be a process of destruction in order to build. A destructive process that frees a capability. You can think about it in the world, right? Sometimes, I mean, think about it in terms of the world today, that the world will not grow unless there's going to be great destruction. We know that. We know very often.
It
is a scary thought, right? But that, you know, what's that?
It's
especially since we're there.
Right, but I didn't show you that. I didn't show you that for this. I show you that for to understand that, like Baalei Kabbalah, the right, you know, the Orach Chaim, Rabbi Chaim Ben Attar, was one of the Baalei, very famous Baalei Kabbalah in Italy in the 15th century, 16th century, whatever it was. And he clearly is, you see, it's rooted in the Zohar, rooted in Kabbalah. He really believes this. This is the way of the metaphysical world. There's a process going on. And Yudah is alluding to it in Kabbalah. What are we supposed to do with it? I have no idea. It was something that I've seen it before and I didn't remember it. And then I saw it today and I was like, oh, we got to do this. We have to share this. To understand that this is how they see. That's how they see. The only, I'm just going to say, I'm over time already, so we'll stop here. But in the Ramban says, Lo yasur shevet b'Yehudah. Okay, in the end, when he says Lo yasur shevet b'Yehudah, he is establishing a norm, a rule. Once Yehudah becomes the Melech, there will be no other Melech ad ki yavo Shiloh until Melech HaMashiach. And if you could read the Ramban if you want in English, he says that's why the Chashamonim were punished. Chashamonim were great tzaddikim, they were great leaders, but they were Kohanim. Because they were Kohanim, they didn't have the right to become kings. And the reason their descendants were destroyed ultimately was because of that reason. Because Yaakov said, Lo yasur shevet miYehudah, who are you to think you have the right to go against Yaakov? And the leadership has to always come from the tribe of Yehudah. I didn't have time to go through it. But that Orach Chaim, crazy stuff. We'll stop here. Have a good week.